podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Jira, an Atlassian product. Jira is the project management solution for teams planning, building, and launching great products. To learn more about Jira and try it free for 30 days, visit Atlassian.com/twit. And by 99designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 225,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/AAA to receive a free Power Pack upgrade valued at $99. Hey, welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 119, recorded on Tuesday, July 23rd, 2013. We are hopefully your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Gina Trapani.
Hello, Gina. Hello again, Ron.
Hi. I'm back. Like I said, I'd come
back.
You're back from the con.
I warned you, yes. So I'm a little husky voice this week because I was at San Diego Comic-Con last week. But I'm back and back in the groove.
So, yeah. Was it just long enough or did you kind of past that point of like, okay, I need to go now?
No, that's the problem with Comic-Con. I mean, I imagine CES and South by Southwest are similar, is that you get to Friday. Like, I was there from Sunday to Monday. Mm-hmm. And the show starts on Wednesday, and then you get to Friday, and you're like, oh, my God, this is never going to end. And the next thing you know, it's Sunday, and it's wrapping up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the problem is I was running my company's booth, Image Comics' booth, and we had just gotten everything running smoothly and perfectly on the last day. Like, that's why there were big problems, but I was like, all right, cool, we can do this. How many more days? Oh, we're done. Let's wrap up. But it was awesome. I met a ton of All About Android viewers at the con, actually.
Oh, awesome.
I got stopped at least two or three times a day by somebody to show me their phone, and we high-fived. I showed them my phone. Yeah, so it was cool. And as I was telling you before the show, the must-have accessory now for, unfortunately, if you're going to a long convention or a long conference like this, is the Mophie makes these little battery packs, the rechargeable battery packs.
Oh, okay.
That I just threw in my bag, and as opposed to looking for an outlet to charge my phone or whatever, I hit like 3 o'clock. Whenever I hit like under 25% battery, you just plug in this battery pack. It's like maybe 3/4 size of the phone, maybe a little thicker. Mm-hmm. And I would just hold it with the phone or put the battery pack in my pocket, in my back pocket, and the phone in my front pocket. And it's slow to charge, but I was back to full power by the time I went out to go hit the club. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was good. So
about a year and a half ago, got the power bag. Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember the power bag, backpack.
My bag's a power bag.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, by the way, Tony Hannity's here with us once again, LazyTechGuys.com. Sorry. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, thanks for letting me come back.
How do you like your power bag? How long have you had it, actually?
Since my first CES, so like 2 years now.
And it's still holding together strong and everything?
It's actually the roller. It's not the backpack, but it's the roller bag, but it has the battery pack inside and all the connections and everything, and it's super useful.
Mine completely deteriorated, and all I do is come to work and you know, I don't do crazy things with my backpack. In many different places, it just started peeling apart to the point to where the straps came completely off.
Oh, the bag itself, but the battery.
The problem, right? I have all this really great like charging capability, this huge thing inside that has all this capacity and stuff, but it's attached to a backpack that I can't use anymore. Yeah. What do I do? I'm like, do I tear it all apart and see what the component looks like by itself? Then I've got this big chunky like ripped literally out of a backpack.
I'm sure you could Frankenstein something.
I'm sure I can figure something out, but it's going to feel a little weird hauling that thing around and going, here's my backup.
But it's
I can't
super...
believe you guys are holding out on me. I've never seen this thing. I'm Googling it now. I need one of these.
Yeah,
it's actually pretty good. Look at that.
Once you have something like this, it totally changes everything. I mean, last year we were frantically looking for outlets and plugs and stuff like that. And then by like 10 or 11 o'clock at night, people are asking me, oh, can I borrow your battery thing? I was helping people charge. Like, it was
Here's my USB cable.
Yeah, smart.
This is what I take everywhere with me.
That's great.
It's my little Kickstarter project, little charge card. I take it everywhere with me. And,
cool.
You know, I can plug it into any USB and my phone on the other side. And
that's great.
Yeah. Things like that.
It's amazing. Yeah, yeah.
Trekking through cons.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, but it's good to be back. It's good to have Tony here. So thanks, Tony, for coming out. Awesome.
Yes, we have a stacked show this week. We'll be discussing the new droids. New in the Droid category on Verizon. The leaky ship that is the Motorola X. I feel like every week we have more and more leaks. Now I feel like we know pretty much nearly everything there is to know about it. The soon-to-be-announced Nexus 7, like tomorrow soon, probably. And thumb rings.
A topic close to our heart.
Yeah, mine anyway. Close to my thumb anyway. You'll see what I mean.
Squarespace website.
We're changing things around a little bit. This week we have two hardware segments. So, Chad, hope you're ready. Let's jump into hardware for the first time.
I feel like the nomenclature for this hardware segment is hardware that has already officially been announced.
Yes.
Or how we get back at Ron for skipping a week to go to Comic-Con.
Yeah,
because I have
story.
A lot to talk about here.
There's a lot there. So there you go. Boom.
So Verizon Wireless and Motorola announced the Droid Ultra, the Droid Max, and the Droid Mini. So the new line of Droids were officially announced. And I'm going to run through the specs here so we can kind of talk through it. And Chad's going to throw up some great pictures. So we got first up is the Droid Max, which is going to be $299 with 48 hours of talk time. That's with a 3,500 milliamp, M-A-H, is that what it is?
Milliamp hour
battery. It's thinner than the Razer Max. It's got wireless charging, a dual-core processor, and quad-core graphics. So for $300, that's a very impressive phone. The Droid Mini at $99 is compact without compromise, the marketing catchphrase. it's 4.3 inches, got 720p display with the Pencil LCD, and it's a nice little low-cost phone. And what's interesting on this is that they all have the new Motorola X8 processor, which is 8 cores. So it's a dual-core 1.7 gigahertz for applications and 4 GPU cores at 400 megahertz. One core for contextual awareness and one core for language processing. Mm-hmm. So that's
we talked about this a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But confirming the 8-core kind of approach and distributed computing. The active display shows notifications in lieu of a notification light, which is interesting. And lose your phone, just say, okay, Google Now, call my Droid, and it will ring.
Yeah, actually, Chad, if you go to the video of active display, and so this... What is this? This is the active notification display.
Right.
So it kind of shows you, and if you want to action it, you just go for it. But turn off the audio, and they demonstrate it.
5-inch display, and then the Droid Max.
So the second one is we're going to do the Google Now demo, right? A lot of people, you know, for myself, I lose my device. I don't know where it's at. I can just say, okay, Google Now, call my Droid. And it'll call it for you.
So, oops, it fell on the couch. I can't find my phone. All you have to do, as long as it's close enough to hear you do the voice, because it's always active.
You know what's going to happen if you don't know what room you lost in? You're going to be walking around your house going, Google Now!
Oh, yeah, the auction free. Google Now!
Google Now!
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
But still, that's pretty cool. That's super, super cool.
Yeah, pretty neat.
Yeah.
It also shows off
like
the camera stuff.
Moto X, right? I mean, this sounds like all the leaks we've been hearing about with the Moto X.
Yeah,
right.
Yep. There's a lot of similarity. Same, absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. Same OS.
Right down to potentially the X8 processor, which it's kind of... Ars Technica did a good job of kind of pointing this out. It's kind of a little tricky, right? Because when you break it down, it looks like, oh, wow, it's 8-core, but it's not an octo-core.
Right.
Like, they're different. Mm-hmm. It has 8 cores, but it's a dual-core... kind of as a dual-core processor, 1.7 gigahertz, that's actually aimed at the applications. If it was 8-core, all that would kind of be aimed there, right?
Well, there's eight in there,
but they're not all doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's more like a distributed computing approach where, you know, like, yes, there are technically 8 cores, but they're, you know, but,
right,
technically we've got, you know, 4 GPU cores, you know, and the 2 main processor ones, and then the dedicated contextual awareness and language processing, which I love, which just sound like marketing tech speak, which is like, you know, I mean, they are something
potentially pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
I love the fact that these cores are designated and designed to kind of be, you know, responsible for one specific thing. And
they
have specific jobs. Yeah, exactly.
That's what they do, and that's what they're going to do best.
And hopefully that means they do it efficiently,
right,
too.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, but they didn't stop there at those various cores and those neat bells and whistles. As a way to entice even more people to come over, Verizon is going to be offering 6 months of free Google Play Music All Access for buying one of the new Droids. So if you're a Google Play Music user and hadn't committed to All Access yet, or were currently, I imagine they'll just give you 6 months of that for free. So that's a nice little way of enticing. I was laughing because I walked by a Verizon store today and I saw they had a decal on the door. That's like, it was something like two times the people have selected Verizon. That's power. That's choice. Like, they're making a deal out of how many people choose Verizon. I was like, I wonder how many people had that choice. But, yeah. You know, but still, for people who are still on the fence, that might be a nice way to woo them over, give them 6 months of free streaming music.
Well, they also get Ingress. Yeah. They don't have to worry about an invite or anything. It's already preloaded on there, too. So
that's
an interesting thing to sneak in there. I wonder how many people are going to get this and be like, Ingress, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, that's what happens with a lot of the Verizon stuff that's already preloaded.
Yeah.
I noticed, you know, all the Amazon stuff that's on there, all the VZ stuff that's on there, most of the people that I used to deal with always came to me and said, do I have to have that? Yes.
Yep.
Right. What do I do with it? Nothing. But you can hide it. And that's the beauty of it. If you're not going to root your phone, you can hide those things.
Yeah. Still eats up disk space. It still does. Takes up space there.
But as long as they don't do the whole Samsung thing where they said 16 gigs, but you really only get 9. As long as they don't do that, I think people are going to be cool with it.
Right. The Ingress thing is interesting, though, because a lot of that stuff already loaded on the Verizon phones or some other things tend to often be paid to be there, you know, some sort of paid placement. But I wonder if Google is like, hey, you're using Motorola, you're working with us, we want to expand Ingress's install base. Mm-hmm. I wonder how much of that is there. But,
Gina, what do you think? Any of these wowing you at this point?
I'm a little stuck on the Ingress thing. Like, it seems like a weird thing to pre-install. Was Ingress ever meant to be a mainstream game? Exactly. I mean, it's a really nerdy game.
Well, according to the Verizon website, as we just saw, and Chad went away as I was going to read it, but it is this
exclusive.
This is a game that turns the real world into a game of mystery, intrigue, and competition.
Ooh.
Why wouldn't you want that on your phone? I think that sounds.
And I mean,
the Play Music deal sounds great, and we're starting to see the Google Motorola, working together. You know, Google basically wants to shuttle as many people into the Play Store, buying anything in the Play Store possible, and that's a good way to do it with the Play Music. Yeah. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised it didn't come preloaded with a Play Store TV and movies credit. Or, I don't know, with a free movie or magazines or something.
It's funny. Yeah, it's funny that it was music, all access for the music versus just the Google Play Store credit in general. I wonder if they're trying to beef up the all access subscription base. Because
no doubt.
I'm sure a lot of those deals with those record labels are contingent on subscribers. And so now they're just going to, inject, thousands of users by this deal. So.
Not to mention, it's kind of cool. I mean, on one hand, sure, it would be cool to get a $50 Google Play gift card, but there's one time, but a lot of people probably will never use it because they're like, well, why do I use Play? In the case of All Access, it's like, wow, you mean I get all of that music for free for 6 months? Like,
and also
unlimited music for free for 6 months is a pretty compelling offer.
It's also the kind of thing where you load it in your credit card, load your Google account,
and
in 7 months
Yep.
There's that $7.99 charge for Google
I hope
Play
they
All Access.
About that.
No, I don't believe
they email you.
They email you. But how many times? I mean, that slipped past me, and I'm like, I wanted to cancel that. I'm like, I'll just leave it. So
I did the same exact thing. I was like, okay.
So, well, in order to celebrate the moment, as we saw earlier, Verizon has a brand new website called DroidDoes.com
New design
on DrewDoes.com.
DrewDoes.com.
And they're all going to be – they all go on sale on August 20th, and you can pre-order on DroidDoes.com or DroidDoes.com right now.
What do you think of the red on the Ultra?
I think it's a
nifty feature. That's red or black. I think maybe when you were describing these, you might have skipped the Ultra.
I think I did. I'm sorry.
Because it was at the very top. It's all good. It's pretty much the same as the Max, but they say the thinnest 4G smartphone.
Yep.
And obviously, a smaller battery, 2130 milliamp hour battery.
And $100 cheaper at $199.
Yes. There you go.
So
I don't know. What do you think of the red?
Well, I was thinking overall, one thing, these aren't Pentile displays except for the Mini.
Except for the Mini. That's
which is good.
Important.
But then they're not 1080p, and we're kind of living in a world of 1080p, and at least having that moniker after the screen size and everything, that would be kind of nice to have. But do you think that's going to be a detriment to this phone and, Verizon
On paper, I'm always like that level of resolution. I'm like, whatever. But then when you had the which phone did you have that blew me away? The Droid.
The DNA.
Yeah. It really looked. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a detriment, but it's definitely. I mean, it would have been nice to see the sharper, more true HD kind of display. So who knows. But hey, at $199, $299, and $99, that's a lot of choice for the customer. That's a set line that you can come in and say, I want a new phone. You can choose from whichever one fits the best.
Mm-hmm.
So very interesting.
Or very expensive with Verizon Edge.
Yeah.
I want a phone that lasts 48 hours. Yeah. 48 hours battery life sounds.
That would blow away my need for a chargeable battery pack.
Yeah. Or if you had a chargeable battery pack, that would just make it even more impressive.
True, yeah. Although note that it's 48 hours talk time. How much data time?
Yeah.
Because data chews. Yeah. That's the thing. I'm never talking on this. I'm constantly online.
How much
do
we talk anymore?
Yeah. So all the
we never talk. We never talk anymore.
Why are you calling me?
And in a con situation, most of the time your phone is just searching for a signal, trying to get little bars, trying to connect to overloaded hotspots, and that also.
I find that situation is like the true test of how your battery is. As you go to a con where it's constantly doing that, mm-hmm. you find out just you know super fast just how bad it actually is.
Well, it's that, and it depends on what you need to do. Like so, for me, for the days that I was in the con setting up the booth and working and stuff like that, I just had my phone on and I had sync on to stay on top of my email. That kills the battery like that. Mm. I mean, I was lucky if I got 4 to 6 hours of sync being on. With emails coming in and you know and having to deal with stuff, once I turn sync off, I can double my battery life. So because it's constantly checking, so between finding the network and once it finds the network, the constant checking. So, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how long the data time will be on that phone. I'll be curious, but I do like the thin phones. Those thin phones are nice. So
yeah.
Now, Gina,
phone.
Sorry, I was going to do a clunky segue, but I wanted to ask you: do you still have your one? First of all.
I have my one. I love my one, I have to say. But actually, interesting story about the one. I had someone on Twitter, Michael EDH, tweeted me and said, hey, I got the HTC One Google Edition. I went into Play Movies. I tried to play back a movie. I got an error. I contacted them, and Google said it was a known issue, and I was able to return it with no restocking fee. They refunded my money. He's like, he said, and I'm just going to get a Moto X. He's like, so you have 15 days. You can report this error. And so, indeed, I went into Play Movies. I tried to play Transformers, which is the one movie that I have. They gave it was a freebie, one of Google IOs, a few Google IOs again.
The one movie I have.
And I got the error message. And so, I have until Friday to contact Google and return the phone. Or, I mean, that was my 15-day window anyway. But I got to tell you, I love this phone. I love it. I love the design of it. I've gotten used to it. I bought a case for it. I kind of love it. So I don't think I'm going to trade it back in for the Moto X. I'm not that bothered by the Play Movies thing. It seems like a software thing. Obviously, I don't watch a lot of movies because it was the one movie that I had.
If you had a huge catalog, it might be a different story.
yeah. It really surprised me that it was like known issue with it. It sounds like a software issue to me, and I was surprised that they took the handset back for it. So anyway, I still have the one. I really like it. The Moto X is supposed to come out. I'm really interested to see the droids. I'm interested to see what the Moto X is going to be like. Although it does sound like the droids really did show off a lot of what we're going to see with Moto X as well.
Yeah.
So there's an HTC One Mini coming in August. Same exact phone, basically, except it's a 4.3-inch version of this full-size one. The design and the software are the same, but it's two price points below the original HTC One. And they basically trimmed down some of the hardware in order to get that price point down. It's a step down to 1.4 gigahertz dual-core processor, 1 gig of RAM, 16 gig non-expandable storage, and you don't get the NFC or optical image stabilization for the camera. The One Mini's IR blaster is also gone. The Verge reviewed the One Mini and the writer said that he found no identifiable difference in the performance between the One and the One Mini. So that's pretty amazing, even given the hardware cutbacks. And carriers haven't been announced. HTC apparently aims to roll the One Mini out around the world starting in August, and silver and black will be available at launch. So it's funny, I went out to lunch with a friend who doesn't use Android. He's an iPhone guy. And I pulled out my phone and he was like, oh, you have the giant one. And it's funny because I don't think about the one as a giant phone. I mean, there are so many more giant, much more giant Android phones, but he's like, oh, that giant one. So the One Mini, if the HTC One is too giant for you, the One Mini sounds like a nice alternative.
And this was we caught wind of this weeks ago. I mean, this was rumored, so it's nice to see that it's true. I think having this size option is nice because not everybody likes the giant phones, as you noted. Although I can't imagine going to a phone that small now. So
I know. Yeah. It's hard to go back.
Whenever I use a friend's iPhone, like a lot of times we were at the con, we're out, and I'm like, oh, give me your phone, I'll search for it. And I'm just like, they're so tiny, and I'm sitting, I feel like my hands
narrow.
Are enormous.
A little toy.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly, yeah.
How do you type on this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's certainly part of the trend, right, is to have multiple sizes for a single, yeah, like, identifiable device. Yeah. You know, obviously, Motorola just did that earlier today. So, yeah, I think that's great. So there you go, the HTC One Mini. I think there's also rumors that HTC, before the end of the year, is going to come out with a HTC One that's more like a plastic backing as opposed to... Okay. We'll see if that one works out.
Why metal backing? I mean, is it cheaper? Is it like, do they want to...
I don't know. Maybe, maybe they're like, well, Samsung's doing pretty all right. They're all about plastic.
Yeah,
but who knows? You know, that's in rumor land. Finally, I teased it. The whole ring thing, this really doesn't have much to do with Android, but I was looking for
Except
something
that
else
it's
in hardware,
awesome.
And it's pretty cool. I think I might actually do this. There's a Kickstarter for an NFC ring, and yeah, I mean, it's what it sounds like. It's basically a ring that you can get through this Kickstarter, hopefully, if this Kickstarter is one of the few that seems to fulfill its destiny at the end.
Right, yeah.
It's already been funded, so it's definitely funded, and they're definitely going forward. Whether you see it in the end, I've just heard of so many Kickstarters where they start and you don't end up seeing the product at the end of it. But this seems like something that actually wouldn't be that difficult to make. It's a ring that has an NFC kind of capability built into it. You sync it with your device. You can do things like, you know, if you always use your phone with one hand, with a particular hand, you can have the NFC ring, you know, tap into your phone and unlock it for you. Just interesting stuff. Or pay with NFC with your ring. I don't know. It's a cool application for it. And it's really not that expensive. I think in the conversion, it's something like $40 bucks or something.
I like the lock aspect. That's pretty cool. So nobody, only you can use it. But then somebody can just take the ring off your finger. But still, it's like,
yeah.
That's interesting. But.
Anyways, I could see one of these on my thumb.
Oh, it's got Bitcoin support.
Bitcoin.
There
Bitcoin
of course. Built in. There we go.
It's the future. Clearly it's the future.
So there you go.
It reminds me of, I remember back in like 05 or 06, like there was a Make video or article or something like that about somebody who injected a RFID chip into their hand and then had their door lock. So all they had to do was put their hand on the door and the door would unlock because it would pick up the RFID transmission. But I imagine you could probably do the same thing now with NFC and a ring.
Sure.
Or if you had – yeah, so that's interesting to see.
If you're willing to cut your skin open and embed NFC inside of it, yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean you could put the functionality in a ring so you'd have to avoid the surgery. Yeah. I think that would be
right.
Yeah, but still, yeah.
Surgery option.
Yeah.
I do like the unlock use case. I was all prepared to make fun of Jason for featuring a thumb ring, but now I'm kind of like, oh, I want my photo unlock when I just pick it up.
Look, it doesn't have to be a thumb ring. It could be a middle finger ring or a ring finger ring.
Do they offer different sizes?
Yeah, they do, actually. Okay. They have an upper tier for people with fat fingers, they say. So there you go.
It's taken 7 months for us to talk about Jason's thumb ring. I feel like I'm now fully, officially embedded in All About Android. I've been on this show since January. We haven't talked about it. So now
the thumb ring is mythological. It's amazing. It's a legend.
It's the white unicorn.
It's the thing I don't think about, but everybody seems to notice. Yep. So.
Cool.
There we go.
All right. Well, we got an email that I'd love to read to you guys in my husky voice. I can't get the name because my screen isn't long enough.
Dylan.
Dylan writes in and says, hey, guys. That's the problem with the MacBook Air. Hey, guys. Great show. My wife recently purchased the Motorola Electrify M, which is the U.S. cellular version of the Droid M, and it's running Jelly Bean 4.1. She works for an in-home healthcare business and is constantly using her navigation as new clients are brought on all over the countryside. She was simply distraught when she discovered one day that there was an empty space on her home screen where navigation used to be. After a great deal of searching, an obscure forum revealed that Google's beautiful turn-by-turn dedicated navigation app was cannibalized by the new Google Maps update. The only way to get navigation back is to uninstall all Google Maps updates and return to the stock app. Is this an isolated incident that only affects this regional carrier's version of Android? Or are we the only two people in the world who missed this app? The thing that bothered me the most about navigation being cannibalized by Maps version 7 was the fact that the app was remotely removed without any significant customer notice. No notification, no Gmail message, and no easy way to make the connection that a Maps update forced the removal of another app. So,
Yeah, and we got, you know, we did get a decent amount of emails from people that were like, you guys were way too easy on the redesign for maps. Personally, the redesign doesn't really bother me a whole lot. I feel like they may have removed some things, and latitude, you know, might be a big thing that they removed, especially for some people. But overall, I personally like the changes that they made. As far as this is concerned, as far as removing the icon, I don't know if you have my MHL connection, Chad, but I can show you, like, I did the update. And I actually still have navigation. I still have places. I still have maps.
As do I.
Some people still have them. Some people do not. I'm not sure why that is. I updated it on my Zoom, actually, the Zoom here. It's just maps now. It's not the other app. So I'm not really quite sure why.
I have the Nexus 4, and I have a unique navigation icon that goes to the new Google Maps navigation, which is great.
Yeah, I don't know why that happened. For my wife, she only has the maps now.
That's really – maybe it has something to do with the processor maybe, or what kind of phone it is.
Well, she has a Galaxy Nexus, so do I.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe
– wacky. I've got it. I've got the navigation icon.
But your wife doesn't. It's so weird.
Yeah. And she – and I mean, same situation. She was like – One night at dinner, she was like, man, what did Google do with navigation? I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, I hate it. There's no more icon. I have to go into maps and there's no, you know, she started listing off these things. I was like, really? Like, wait a minute. And so we looked at it and I had to kind of like educate her on the changes because it was totally different from what she was used to.
That has to be a carrier.
And meanwhile, you know, she discovered this when she was already late for something and needed to navigate there. She's like, I don't know how to use this. Like, what I expected to be there isn't there. And that's kind of an issue if that happens.
But considering we're seeing inconsistent results on phones, it's got to be on how the update package that's going to carriers, their update was install new maps, remove this stuff, which it clearly is wrong.
Yeah, definitely people in the chat room also saying just the new maps, not nav icon.
That's so weird. Okay.
Well, I've got the GS4.
Weird.
The navigation icon right there.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah. So anyways.
Well,
you're not the only one to complain about this, Dylan.
It's not the same issue, but it's not the same issue. But I can say that I did get the update last week in the middle of the week at the worst possible time.
Yeah,
because when I'm in San Diego trying to desperately find a bank to go do some work, and then I get this new map and it's walking me through the new app, and even though I knew about it, but I was like, no, I just need to use the map functionality.
So. I need to go to work. Yeah.
So it just shows
the worst time to do the tutorials when you're late.
Exactly.
And
then if you skip it, you can't go back to the tutorials. I'm like, no, I wanted to see it. It's a nightmare. Anyway,
you lose, Ron.
That is weird. We should look into that more.
Look into it.
Yeah,
more.
I wonder if there's some sort of carrier grid. If it's carrier by carrier or phone by phone, I wonder.
I don't know.
Jason, you and your wife are on different carriers, and
no,
you have the same phone.
No, we're on the same carrier.
You're same phone, same carrier.
Yeah,
that's just
that makes
weird.
No sense.
Yeah,
that makes zero sense. Okay, I'll do some research.
Gina's on it. Gina's on the task.
I wonder if I was to uninstall it on both of our devices and reinstall it, if we'd have the same kind of.
Well,
instance,
you can't do that because you might lose it. Like what is yours? Is this some sort of like add third party application, like one of those settings that your wife has that you don't have?
Like side loading stuff.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, you know.
But what? But
is yours
why?
Rooted? Is yours rooted? Or no,
well, yeah, my device is definitely rooted.
Is hers rooted?
Yeah.
There it is?
No, hers is not rooted.
Right, there it is.
Oh. Hmm.
But
why
I have
why would that
mine,
why?
Mine's
not
I don't know. I'm still looking for an answer.
Mine's not rooted.
I just want an answer. That's all I want.
Yeah. Anyways, all right. Let us know. Sure. AAA at twit.tv. Do you have navigation? Do you not? Icon. That's what we're looking for. And why? Why is it there? Why is it not? I have no idea. I know we're not the only ones to complain about this confusion. Let's take a quick break and thank one of our sponsors for this episode of All About Android, Atlassian, makers of Jira. So let me give you a little bit of insight of what this is all about. Jira is one of the world's most powerful and customizable issue and project management systems. It easily captures and organizes your workflow so you can prioritize and take action on what's important while staying up to date with the activity that's going on around you. Here's some of the things that it can do. It can easily capture, organize, and prioritize your team's issues, tasks, features, and bugs. You can give your team a simple, intuitive interface for collaborating with each other in real time. Seamlessly integrate your planning documents, your backlog, your issues, and your code repository all on one platform. You can also set up any business process that you can imagine so your team works the way they want. Very efficient. Define your own issue types to track the information that actually matters most to you and your team. You can stay in the loop with notifications by email, chat, at mentions, actually, RSS. You can also monitor streams of activity and self-reporting, self-updating reports and dashboards, so you are always in the know. Expand infinitely in any direction with hundreds of Jira add-ons, including test management. There's time tracking, project management, hundreds of other uses out there. If your issues involve code, Jira ties everything together from an initial planning doc, the files, chain sets in your code repository, all the way through to the deployment. Sorry, Jira's integration with Git actually allows teams to follow their code from development all the way through delivery in one system. You can even build onto Jira yourself with the power of Atlassian's REST APIs. Jira is flexible and simple enough for a 5-person startup, but powerful and reliable enough for a 100,000-person enterprise. It's used by over 20,000 companies, including 70% of Fortune 100, and even NASA is actually using this. Jira sits at the heart of Atlassian's offerings for managing your entire application development process from concept to launch. So here's what you can do. Go to Atlassian.com/twit. That's Atlassian. Atlassian.com/twit for more information on Jira. Monthly plans start at $10 a month for up to 10 users. You can try it for free for 30 days. Remember, Atlassian.com/twit and select Jira from the many services that they offer. And we thank Atlassian so much for your support of All About Android and the Twit Network. Thank you, guys. All right, round two for hardware. Yes.
I was hoping we'd have two bumpers.
I know.
That was great.
It just makes sense.
Tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific, Sundar Pichai at Google is hosting a breakfast for several journalists, I think. Is someone from Twit going to be there, or are they just going to...
We are actually live coverage. We just kind of coordinated this earlier this afternoon. We are doing live coverage of this tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Pacific, before Tech News Today. So I'll be here with Tom, Sarah, Ayaz, and then Leo is kind of leading that.
Were you guys invited?
Oh, I don't know if we were invited to the event.
I was not invited.
Yeah.
And so they are going to live stream it then.
Yes.
Tomorrow. Okay. All right, cool.
It's on their YouTube channel.
Oh, so they are actually live streaming the event. Yep. Okay, good to know.
But go to Twitch.
Right on. That's exciting.
They made it like, oh, it's a breakfast. It's like, come meet Sundar. We're gonna live stream it. So clearly there's going to be something. What are the rumors that it's going to be?
What's going to be, Gina?
It's going to be the next Nexus 7. The Nexus 7 2? The Nexus 2? 7? I don't know. The leaks and the product shots, it's hard to tell what they're actually calling it.
The Nexus 27?
The Nexus 27?
The next Nexus.
You can see right there, Jason, or Chad's got up on the screen, side-by-side shots with the current Nexus 7. Mm-hmm. It's kind of thinner, a little bit taller, but basically exactly what you'd expect. You know, the black triangle slab. A couple of changes, lots of leaks, a couple of changes. It's got dual cameras, wireless charging, dual speakers, and it's going to be a little bit more expensive than the current iteration. Current leaks say somebody leaked a shot of an inventory page. We're looking at probably $229 for the 16 gig as compared to the $200 for the current 16 gig and $269 for the 32 gig. And the 32 gig is currently of the Nexus 7 1 is $249. It looks like an upgraded Nexus 7. It looks a lot like the current Nexus 7, just looks a little more kind of tricked out. Oh, it will be running Android 4.3, which probably Sundar will unveil tomorrow as well. And the dual cameras is a big change. And wireless charging actually is pretty exciting. I really like that. I love to see that wireless charging is now coming out. And all the sort of the new generation devices have wireless charging.
I gotta get my wireless charger cube thing. Whatever that is.
The half dome?
The
Death Star sliced in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The Nexus Q remnant. Remnant inventory.
Remnant of the Q, yeah.
What do we do with this? Slice it.
Just cut it in half. Make it a wireless charger.
It sounds like breakfast is going to be Android 4.3 and the new Nexus 7. I don't imagine they would announce something else over breakfast. Pancakes. Breakfast seems very casual. Oh, there's that shot that I was talking about.
There we go. Quad core processor this time around. That's different, right? It was dual core last time, or was it quad?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
I feel like
it was dual.
Yeah, I'm pretty positive.
The slim port for 1080p output to your TV as well.
So you can watch Transformers.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, Squad already. Okay, maybe I'm mistaken on
exactly.
that. And then if you put the picture of the two side by side, I know a lot of people are kind of complaining a little bit about the whole bezel issue. On the right is the old. On the left is mm-hmm. purportedly the new. Same size screen, right?
Seven.
But mm-hmm. Definitely a little bit more bezel. It doesn't bother me, really.
It looks thinner. Wait, which one's which?
Left is new.
Right, yeah. Right. Left one looks thinner, right? Am I crazy or...
No, take a look at the top and the bottom. Like, see the top, how it extends up.
There's a lot of bezel going on there.
No, yeah. It's longer. No, it's longer, but it's longer looks thinner. Doesn't it look thinner?
Well, yeah.
It does look thinner.
To have that
7-inch
measurement, it has to be thinner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they probably needed more room for the extra camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the speakers, there are two speakers, an upper and a lower speaker, and that slim port. It does look like a lot of bezel, though, looking at it.
It's a whole lot of bezel.
It's a whole lot of bezel.
A lot of bezel going on.
I don't know.
Still, it's a great tablet, good, affordable. I'm surprised they're up in the price point, though, I have to tell you. I thought the biggest selling point of the Nexus 7, what is that? It was $200.
But they did that to generate, obviously, they did that to generate a lot of interest, and that worked. Now, the Nexus 7 has kind of its own reputation going for it. And $230 for 16 gig is actually still a pretty darn good price.
I mean, the question will be is what are the competitors in the space, right? So what will the Kindle Fire 7, what will the new Kindle Fire be? How will they all match up? You know, and is the added addition of the dual cameras and all that sort of stuff enough to bump up the price, and doesn't really matter in the marketplace?
Higher resolution display as well, 1920 by 1200. Sideways M in the chat, thanks for the reminder on that.
Which will make those Transformers look like they're jumping out of the screen. So,
yeah. You know, so I love the Nexus 7. I think we all do. It's a great tablet. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to buy the two. I don't know. I mean, I'm curious about it. The price point seems good. It's funny, though, when I talk to people who don't have the Nexus 7, like, I'm like, this is such a great little tablet. It's awesome. They're just kind of like, So I'm trying to figure out who the market is here. Are they trying to get people who have the Nexus 7 1 to upgrade? Because we all know what a great tablet it is, and it's just kind of, great size and such a successful device. Are they going after people who haven't, wandered into Android tablet land yet?
Yeah, that's really good. Really good question. So my wife has the Nexus 7 that I got at I/O last year, was it? Yeah. And I am desperately in need of what am I talking about? I need a new tablet / tech device. Like, I need a hole in the head. but I want one. I would be very tempted by this. $229 is a hard price point to pass up if it's a great tablet.
I don't have a reason to upgrade. I mean, like, the Nexus 7 currently is doing everything I need.
So yeah.
Like, I don't feel
exactly.
I'm not running out of capacity. It's not slowing down or anything like that. Don't get me wrong, I'd like a new one. If Google gave me one, I'd take it, but I don't think I'm going to go buy it.
You wouldn't take it out of bed.
One of the closest quote unquote competitors would be the Galaxy Tab 3 7.0, and that doesn't own up to the specs of the Nexus 7. I mean, it has a 3 megapixel camera on the rear. It's only dual core. It's not a 1080p display. But in terms of a 7-inch competitor, price-wise, it beats it at that. So if you're going into this saying who's going to win the price war, then, at $199, the Galaxy Tab wins. But in terms of value, for $30 more, you might get more value out of the new Nexus.
Yeah.
7 Nexus.
Yeah, you get a lot of upgrade for that $30, for sure.
It's only $30, but $199 is just a very powerful number.
It is.
Because it's got that one in the beginning. Like psychologically, there's a big difference between $199 and not to heart, but there's a difference. Like, that $199 just seems so, like, such a, feels so low. Like, anything over, closer to $250, I'm like, it just feels like a big jump, even though it is only $30.
It's not quite impulse, but it's way more impulse than something in the $200 range. Yeah. For some reason, $199, you're like, yeah, that's easy to figure out. I'm sure I can figure something out to be able to afford that potentially.
$1 more a day.
I mean, and if you're looking across the aisle, the iPad mini is currently $330 at the 16 gig.
Right, right.
So, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a great point.
Or $289 if you get it at Walmart. But yeah.
just an aside, I love that we're at the point to where Android tablets are so competitive and there's so many good ones offered.
Yeah.
A year ago, you know, before the Nexus 7 was even introduced, it would be hard to make that argument. And now there's a lot of really good competition out there for Android tablets. So I think that's great.
Last note about the new Nexus 7. It's rumored to go on sale July 31st. That's a week from tomorrow. And that's the rumor.
Wow.
Oh, quick.
Yeah, so that's soon.
Right. Yeah.
I think I'm more excited about Android 4.3.
I'm more excited about the breakfast they're going to serve.
Pancake.
Yeah, there you go. That's
bagels?
Pancakes and bagels.
And Android-shaped locks on the bagels.
There you go.
Okay, the other leaky ship that's been, I feel like we know so much about, and it's not even really been announced officially. Well, a little bit at this point. Moto X, we talked a lot about it. We now have an official invite for an event that is going to be unveiled August 1st in New York City. So there it is, Moto X. We know what that's all about. But now, you know, it's all up to, okay, so what else is leaked about this? What do we know that we didn't know last week? Well, first of all, there's a press shot that the TechCrunch link here kind of shows you the upcoming kind of press rendering for it. Looks pretty slick, I gotta
say. That's nice. It looks like the Nokia
bezel, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You mean the outer edge?
On the left. Yeah, that edge looks
it
like
does.
It's raised a little bit.
Yeah.
So you don't necessarily need a bumper case to protect your
screen. Right, to protect your screen. It raises
falls,
off.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So we have all those. Android Police did a great job of compiling all the things with with proof for each point to be like, this is how we know it because of this picture and because of this thing all over, because there's just been so many leaks. What we think we know, thanks to Android Police, 2 gigs of RAM, 720 by 1184 screen, 4.7-inch screen, and that's about 4.5 inches without the on-screen buttons. I think that's pretty much what you get with the Nexus 4, right?
Not bad, I think.
I mean, it's pretty much the same screen.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong there. 2.1 megapixel front facing camera, 10.5 megapixel rear facing, 802.11 A, B, G, N, and AC. That's kind of cool.
Wow.
Android 4.2.2. I'll be curious to see if that's actual or if it's 4.3. 16 gigs of internal memory, NFC, 2200 milliamp hour non removable battery. We also know that it's assembled in Texas. We've kind of known that for a while, but Motorola kind of put out a little tweet with
their own picture on
a bunch
Instagram.
Of, you know, or one guy in the factory going, yeah, I think he's assembling something that you might know what it is. Kevlar continues potentially with the Moto X. And we talked a little bit earlier about the Droid devices that were announced earlier today having the X8 processor. There was a lot of talk about this, the Moto X having a Snapdragon processor. And it turns out that the X8 is likely a spinoff of the Snapdragon in some ways. So they're likely the same thing. But from what we know about the Motorola X having these kind of dedicated processes or processors for different things, it's pretty safe to assume that the X8 is going to be in the Moto X in the way that it is in the new Droids. Maybe that's why it's called the Moto X.
Ooh.
I don't know. So there you go. And then finally, potential pricing. 16 gigs. Potentially $299 off contract, $99 subsidized. 32 gigs, $349 off contract, $149 subsidized. I think that's kind of the critical point for a lot of people is what is this going to be priced at? Because already people are looking at this going, well, the specs aren't top-notch, you know, aren't top of the line.
Great.
You know, they're using that as their purchase.
How much was the Nexus 4 without contract?
Oh, geez.
From
was
Google?
Was it $299?
Was it
$299? Let's find out.
Investigate.
Check your
Tony,
credit card.
Would you like to get one of these, knowing what you know right now?
$299. I wanted one at first, but now I'm kind of on the edge because if it is a mid-level device and I'm using an S4 right now, I feel like I would be going backwards in capability and spec, like the presentation of the device and how it's going to function. But I don't know. Maybe they'll have some sort of feature that is only going to be available on the Moto X, and it's going to blow everything else out of the water, and I'm really going to need it for, I don't know, the use of my daily driver. But what I've seen with the camera, it's nothing really too spectacular. I don't need to flick my wrist twice to activate the camera. It's cool, but, you know, it's not a winner for me yet.
The Nexus 4 was $299 for an 8-gig phone.
There you go.
The 16-gig was $349. Okay. So this is priced competitively. And also interesting to note that now the Nexus 4 now ships with the bumper.
Yes. Mm.
So that was interesting.
I still don't have limited time offer.
Free bumper
purchase.
Yeah.
So Gina, and you had already mentioned you think you're probably going to stick with the HTC One, right? Mm. What you've seen hasn't kind of pulled you over to the other side. Kind of
not yet.
Like.
I'm really interested to see. I want to see the software. I want to see the active notifications. I'm not sure how I feel about the always listening voice control. Yeah. I mean, I'm interested because that's kind of new and interesting. But I don't know that I actually want that in my life, and this is where I get into this weird sort of paranoid space. I know they're not uploading all of the conversations that go on in my home, and honestly, it's all very boring, mostly baby talk, trying to get the baby to soothe the baby. But still, I don't know about the always on listening. The hey Google Now ring my phone, cool, but I just don't know how often I would actually use that. Also, you have to be in the room with the phone. If I'm in the room where the phone, I lost the phone, and if it's in my couch, it's not going to hear me. I just don't know like how practical it is or how much I would actually use it. I think that it makes really good commercials, right? I don't know. I'm not convinced that it would make such a big difference in my everyday life.
Right.
I'm curious to see if there's more going on there software-wise.
Yeah, I mean... What I'm sure you might be kind of referring to is that it's at least partially known that Leo went to something out at Google and that something may or may not have featured what we're looking at on the screen. And if that is the case, he has also mentioned that maybe we haven't seen everything in the things that have hit the internet to this point.
You are very careful in your words there. That is well done.
I'm just trying not to get fired. He wouldn't fire me over that. But you know what I mean. Yeah. I'm just being careful. Very and honestly, funny. At this point, I have specifically avoided any information from Leo. I do not want to know. Because it would be very hard to do this show if I knew more than what is out there.
I know everything.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I've been in that position before, and it's not that hard. You just pretend. It's acting.
I'll just find out with everybody else.
So following the trend of events, LG isn't one to be left behind, and details have been revealed about LG's upcoming event, also in New York, which is going to be on August 7th at Lincoln Center in New York at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And it's this event is going to be the unveiling of the latest G2 phone from LG. And the speculation around the G2 is going to be a Snapdragon 800 quad-core processor with a 13-megapixel camera and running Android 4.2.2. So we'll see what happens on August 7th when LG throws their hat into the ring as everybody starts unveiling their phones in advance of the holiday buying time.
So much stuff going on.
It's this
right
cycle.
Now.
I was explaining this to a friend of mine. The yearly cycle with consumer tech is that, right around this time, you're getting everything. And then once after Labor Day, holiday shopping starts. So.
Yeah. Cool. There you have it. All right, let's thank our other sponsor for today's episode, 99 Designs, connecting people looking for great graphic design with their community of over 225,000 graphic designers from all over the world. 99 Designs is great. They've been the sponsor of the show for a reasonable amount of time now. They're super stoked that they are because the service that they offer is just super compelling. Whether you need a new logo, mobile app, business card, t-shirt, or really any other kind of graphic design, you are going to find the right designer for your project at 99 Designs. And here's how. You tell 99 Designs what you need. Dozens of designers from their community will actually submit designs created just for you based on what you're looking for. You give them, those designers, your feedback, and you help them refine their designs, particularly the ones you really, really like. And then you have the power to just kind of select and pay for your favorite design from the bunch. And actually, if you're developing an Android app, you can get anything like icons, buttons to your entire mobile app, all designed at 99 Designs. Actually, if you can take a look at some of these apps that have already kind of used 99 Designs. And Chad, if you go to 99designs.com/mobile-app-design, you can take a look. Excellent. I mean, there's just a ton of different designs that the community has taken part in. And you don't really have to be a graphic design guru to make your app look awesome. You just post it into 99 Designs and let the people that know what they're doing from a design perspective take control of that. Really cool service and really empowering for people that have great ideas but don't necessarily have the technical know-how to see it through to the end. Empower their designers. And you can start your next graphic design project if you are interested for as low as $199. Visit 99designs.com/AAA. You'll get a $99 power pack of services for free. And actually, a power pack gives you more designer time and attention. 99 Designs will bold, highlight, and feature your design project in 99 Designs Marketplace. And you'll also get nearly twice as many designs. So go ahead and visit 99designs.com/AAA. And I'm pretty positive you're going to like what you see. We thank 99 Designs for their support of All About Android. And people with great ideas, use this. It's a great way to get your idea seen and realized. All right. Thank you, 99 Designs. Let's jump to apps. Not a huge amount in apps this week, but I thought this was kind of interesting. CyanogenMod merging Google Voice. Basically what they're doing. Okay, so it's called Voice Plus, and I think I just switched over to Nightly. If you're on CyanogenMod Nightlies right now, you'll see this. There isn't a whole lot to show off here. If I click into here, this is all the app does, right? There's all my email addresses. You select the email address that you want, that your Google Voice account is linked to. People have seen it before. And basically what it allows you to do is use any MMS app with your Google Voice account, which is something that you haven't been able to do very easily before, and that we would love for Google to come up with an official way to do. But until then, CyanogenMod figured it out, as they are really good at doing. So you activate it. It's literally you just select the app or the account that it's linked to your Google Voice, and from that point on, it allows you to use whatever SMS you want, and it's just silently in the background kind of working for you using your Google Voice with whatever SMS app you have. Very cool.
Wait, stuff. You could send MMS?
No. Sorry, SMS. If I said MMS, I misspoke.
Okay, the MMS problem still is not solved.
No, thank you.
I was like, what?
Right, exactly.
I messed that up. If I said MMS, I was wrong.
SMS.
SMS.
Okay.
MMS is still a big pile of doo-doo.
Oh, man. It's tragic.
It's like the Moby Dick of Google app problem. It's just like, I will get that fish. It's such a big fish.
How hard is that to fix? Come on. It's just data. It's just the data.
Just data.
Just make it work. My God. Well, as opposed to making MMS work, Google seems to be working hard on an interesting little aspect of Chrome that's called Chromoting. That would be a Chrome-based remote desktop application for Android. Droid Life had the scoop. Francois Buffaut, the guy who leaks a lot of Chrome-related news by going into the source code of the Chrome code, found within that the Chromium team at Google seems to be working on a remote desktop app for Android called Chromoting that would allow anyone to remotely connect to a user's desktop computer via Chrome. This isn't anything new. This isn't anything that doesn't exist already. There's tons of different apps that do this. Browser-based remote control is something that's been pretty, it works pretty nicely now. Mm-hmm. It's just the first time Google's actually tinkered with it and or possibly putting it into Chrome, which is like their key product on the desktop. So if it's true, it'll be interesting to see that get developed. But the beginnings of it are already in the source code on Chromium, so it's going to be interesting to see it develop.
Cool.
So,
Sounds pretty nifty that Google's actually kind of buying.
I'm not surprised. They're trying to, especially with the Chrome laptops, with the Pixel and all that stuff like that, the remote access. Like, if you wanted somebody to run remote access into it, you can't right now, So, at least elegantly.
Yeah. Right now, there's a Chrome remote desktop Chrome extension. So this has existed on the desktop through the browser, but it's cool to see it come to Android. And I guess Chromoting is the protocol that Google developed in order to do that sort of remote desktop. Really cool to see this come to Android. So, I mean, I guess you need a big screen to really kind of do something, but it turns any Chrome and anything running Chrome into sort of a pixel, right? Because it's a touch screen. If you have a big Android tablet and you can, remotely control another computer.
Yeah, totally.
Kind of cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. And go for it.
Oh, so
sorry.
That's me. I'm up next. Android police love when they do this. Another APK teardown of Google Play services. Google Play services is that sneaky silent in the background Google app that comes down and updates on your phone. It's kind of the way that Google's routing around the whole fragmentation problem. It's this kind of system level app that connects all your Google apps together. There was an update that came out recently, and Android police did an APK teardown where they just tear apart the source code and try to divine what Google's going to come up with next based on XML strings and variables and images. And so we're looking at some more gaming updates. Looks like, and this is Android police kind of speculating, that there's going to be some sort of Google Play Games discoverability app where you can see your invitations and recent games and have game sort of discovery lists like popular multiplayer and featured games. There are some variables in this APK for a game's waiting room. Again, this is not anything that's been released, but it's just hints at this in the source code. Game's waiting room is where, you know, people kind of hang out in a lobby and find other players, a kind of a matchmaking lobby. And there are some really interesting variables that say things called things like sign in with Chrome. So it sounds like there's going to be some interesting Android Chrome integration where you can maybe sign into an Android app using Chrome, or somehow those two apps are getting integrated, which is extremely interesting for people who have been following the sort of two pathways of Chrome and Android at the same time. So we don't know. We don't know what that's going to look like. But interesting to see what's coming up. A lot of the source code isn't referenced everywhere. It's there, but it's not live yet. So we'll see what comes of it.
Yeah, and sometimes you see stuff in these teardowns, and then they mysteriously disappear later.
Disappear, exactly.
You never hear about it.
Right, because Google's like, oops. Like, you know, yeah. Google tests a lot of stuff internally, and, you know, so we don't know. But interesting.
Yeah, they're dog fooding. Delicious. Yeah. And before we hit the email, just right before, hey, you know what? Breaking news. Ha-ha. I mean, it's breaking news right before the show. Anyway, well, it was for me. Now I'm looking at the timestamp and I'm realizing it wasn't quite breaking, but it was 3 p.m. All right. That's 2 hours before the show.
It's breaking news for me. All right.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. SwiftKey introducing cloud services for backup, also doing things like sync. So essentially, you know, and one of my complaints with SwiftKey has been if I install it on different devices or if I flash a new ROM and reinstall it, I have to start over
with my
kind of prediction kind of library. Because over time, SwiftKey learns how you type and offers up words based on that. Now they have a cloud service to unify that. So you can kind of import your data between devices. That's pretty cool.
In beta.
Okay, Scooter X got the email from SwiftKey this morning. Fine, whatever. I just wanted an excuse to play breaking news. Scooter X.
SwiftKey is creepy good. I've been using it in earnest the last few weeks, and it literally can predict the next word I'm going to type without me having typed any letter sometimes. Like, it recognizes phrases. It's really, really good.
Yeah, it really is. I love it. I need to reinstall it, actually. I've been kind of forcing myself to use the stock keyboard for a while just to kind of see, and it's great. But yeah, the predictions, like, I realize in doing this, and I've been doing this for a couple of weeks now, the predictions are actually much better in SwiftKey, and I've noticed it over time where I'm like, why does this keep happening? It should know now that I don't mean that when I type that.
Why doesn't it know?
No more.
All right.
okay, so there you go. Quick email from Steven, who writes, I am seeking an app or shortcut or method to quickly and easily enable and disable Android's lock screen security. I use no security when I'm at home. When I'm away, I set my Samsung Note 2 for medium security pattern. Every time I leave home, I need to go through the same old step-by-step procedure with the same pattern and the same four-digit code, and then go through the same procedure when I return home to enable no security. Is there a less involved method of setting the security level when I leave and return home? There are probably a few different ways that you could go about this. Some of the ways that I found online required root, and I was like, yeah, that doesn't sound right. Like, that doesn't seem like the kind of thing that you would have to have root. Tasker actually has a wiki. We've talked about Tasker many times.
I love the chat room is lighting up with Tasker. Tasker.
Yeah, exactly. it's pretty obvious that Tasker would be the thing to, or applications like Tasker would be the type of application you'd use to do this. But they have a wiki at tasker.wiki.com. That's wikidot, the word, .com. And I'll link to it in the show notes at twit.tv/AAA. You'll find them there. But there is a task that's basically step-by-step on enabling and disabling pin lock with a Wi-Fi connection or car mode. But essentially, the Wi-Fi connection aspect is you go home, it recognizes your wireless access point at home, and that's like that's the whitelist, right? So all that it requires at that point is that you use your passcode once. That's to get in, and then that activates the task or job. So you get home, you do it once, you get into your phone, and then it does the switch.
You would think that GPS location would be one that could work.
You could
too,
do that,
especially
with
the new Google Maps fencing.
Yeah,
geofencing. Yeah.
Yeah, imagine that. Like as soon as I walk in the house, turn on or off, or turn off or on your security depending on your needs.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, also with work as well too.
Sure,
that's interesting. Yeah, so.
And I do wonder if there's a way to. Oh no, he even says I have Tektiles, but there's no option for this function. Tektiles is Samsung's specific
NFC
way of doing this. You know, these types of things, and it's not nearly as detailed, and it doesn't give you nearly as much access as something like Tasker does.
Yeah.
So you could use that if you wanted to use NFC as your trigger point. You could use that too. Just use another app to set it up. Tasker might be a good starting point. There are other ones as well. So
cool.
I hope that helps, Stephen. All right. Are we ready to battle? Let's go. Let's get into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Oh, but okay. And before we go, the Undecided made a really good point. That doesn't work without a plugin as of 4.0. And that is pointed out in the Tasker wiki, is that you need to install an app called Secure Settings. So do that first. Just follow the wiki.
Follow
it's
the walker,
there.
Yeah.
There we go. Thank you for the reminder. All right. Last week, Ron was not here, but we soldiered on. And we had three apps, and Crazy Taxi was the winner.
Oh yeah,
it was a close race between Crazy Taxi and Retail Me Not. I gotta say,
I love Crazy Taxi.
I love Retail Me Not.
Yeah,
it's close.
Crazy Taxi is great.
Yeah. Close-ish. I knew as soon as I saw Crazy Taxi that I didn't have a chance.
The worst is you get into the arena and you're like, I got a great app, and then this guy rolls out a game,
hey,
and you're just
I'm
like,
not the only one to do that. We all have equal. Arena stealing moments. Crazy Taxi, 46% first place. Retail Me Not, I think it's pretty close second at 39%.
Yeah.
WeChat, third place at 15%. There we go. All right. So this week we have four apps, and let's get right into it. Gina, I have your app installed. So
awesome.
Go
awesome.
For it. Tell people all about
the amount of setup. I'm probably not in the best position this week, but I'm going to go for it anyway. All right. So my pick this week is called Fit Radio. And I have just recently gotten back to the gym. I'm rebelling against, you know, the coder's physique. I'm trying to work on that a little bit. And I just want to listen to a little music. I wanted to send like some upbeat workout music, but I didn't want to take the time to curate my own playlist. And this is exactly what Fit Radio is. I think a Mashable called it like Pandora for gym rats. And I thought that description was really, really apt. It's just really upbeat music, categorized stations, like DJ mixes of upbeat music categorized by BPM, so beat per minute. So based on the kind of workout that you're doing, really good for like cardio workouts, or kind of workouts that you need a lot of energy. So you go into Fit Radio and you can choose your music by genre or by workout. So if you want a workout, you know, if you're doing Zumba, if you're doing a 5K run, if you want the meathead workout, which I assume is just like a dude lifting weights, or if you want the cardio workout, if you're getting on the elliptical, you can choose music that way. Or you can do by genre. You can say, hey, look, I want top 40. I want hard rock, alt rock, hip hop. You can it's mixes of music, so you can choose by DJ. If you really like DJs, you can favorite certain DJs, and it's like 30 minutes of streaming upbeat driving kind of music that helps you get through your workout. You can browse DJs by name and popularity, and it's free. I believe you get 30 minutes. I think you get a few hours free per week. I should check to see how many hours. But you can upgrade, and there are audio ads. There are ads about Fit Radio, but you can upgrade to $2.99 a month or $36 a year to get no ads and just listen continuously. App looks great. Yeah, there you go.
Beefcake.
Beefcake.
Ron's like, I'm so tired. I can't even do this anymore.
These are the things that make me want to quit my gym. When I get to my gym, I get there really early, and the nice thing, I like the lights. Historically, they've had like the alternative station on early, but now it's been like the dubstep, and I just can't believe it. Oh man, look at that. Look at that.
And actually, this is a Zoom, so it's pretty heavy, right? There you go. See? You can't say that we don't sell your app for you, Gina.
There you go.
I was going to say, that's a really good sale. I did not expect all that.
The lights are really what did it. Let's be honest. The music and the head bopping was good, but Chad with the DJ lights, that made it work.
Thank you, Chad. A lot of this music is super cheesy, straight up, like exactly what you'd expect to hear at a gym kind of music. But I got to tell you, I've been enjoying it. It's been a little bit of a house party in my house the last couple days since I found this app. The app looks great on a tablet, looks good on a phone. It's not the most beautifully designed or modern Android app that you'll ever see, but it totally does what it needs to do. There are a couple of different settings. You can turn explicit mixes off. You can upgrade to premium. You can sign in with – you can be one of the kind of users that kind of just goes in and starts playing music and that's it. Or you can sign in with Facebook and you can favorite stations and DJs and mixes. And you can curate your own lists if you do – get mixes or DJs that you like best. But that's Fit Radio, and it's free. And if you're looking for a workout playlist, check it out.
It's really clever idea. It's really good.
Yeah, it's music great.
Music by type of workout or type of, yeah, so it's pretty cool.
And, they have the Beefcake Radio in there, Meathead, sorry. Mm-hmm. So, it's me.
It's hard rock for lifting.
Ray Guns, right there.
Yeah, my Ray Guns.
Ray Guns, yeah.
Nice. All right, cool. So that is Fit Radio, and it's free. I love it, Gina. Thank you. Ron, what you got?
All right. So once again, I love the wacky UI, and this one falls in the category of kind of – it's not a crazy app, but it's an interesting approach. The app is called Floating Toucher. And even though it sounds kind of creepy, it's not a launcher app, but it's actually just – I don't know what this is, to be honest with you, because I guess it falls in the launcher app category, but it doesn't take over your home screen. It works on top of your home screen, and really the best way is just for me to show it to you. So what we got here is if you notice, here's my home screen. Here's all my apps. You see it's very, very busy. I got a lot of stuff going on. But if you notice as I scroll, there's one little dot right there that doesn't move. If I tap that dot, it gives me that little screen in the middle. And what that does is it gives me a bunch of different little options. One is to just go back to the home screen, which it does. So if I did that, it would go boop. One is I can predefine apps to launch. So I've got Falcon Pro, I've got MLB at Bat, I've got Google Chrome. It also enables the lock screen. So if I just want to lock my device, it just goes away. All right, now I got Chad, go back to me. All right. And so now that I'm back in, if I hit it again, it's also got a nifty little cleanup where what it will do is clear all your caches and clean up your device. And so right now it just cleaned up 109 meg of memory and my system is clean. And it's just this neat little wheel that is always floating and always available. So if I go to, if I go to Google Drive, or I should go to Google Play Store. If I go to the Google Play Store, you see the little dot just stays there.
So it's like Chat Heads.
Yeah, kind of like Chat Heads. Yeah, or that notification app you had a couple weeks ago, but with a simple launcher type thing. Additionally, if I hit this folder with some gears on it, which you can't really see that close, but if I hit that, it brings up all the power bar tools that you might want to use. So I can change the screen rotation, turn on Bluetooth, turn on data, turn on Wi-Fi, turn on GPS, volume, airplane mode, brightness. Or I can just go back to the little navigator. So I'm going to go back home with it. You can customize where you want the dot to be. So all I got to do is hold on to it and move it around. And I can move the dot. And I totally lost it. Where'd it go? All right. So I can move the dot wherever I want it to be. So now as I scroll through my different – you see the dot stays there. Mm-hmm. And I can move it. So wherever you might want it to be. Additionally, you can customize it a little by just tapping in the middle. You've got some options here. On the point, they have some preloaded designs. So if you're really into Captain America, you can make it a Captain America shield or a Superman shield. If you upgrade it to Pro, you can upload your own kind of point icon, which is a neat little kind of a neat little thing there. Additionally, you can remove, add and remove different applications. So here you see a plus sign. So I can tap that and I can choose whether I want to add actions. So I can change, turn up the volume, turn down the volume, brightness, all the various actions that are available, any apps that I might want, or shortcuts. So if I've already created a shortcut to my Evernote stuff or to various bookmarks or specific directions, you can all load it in with there. So it's kind of like a widget app, but it's a little more than that. If you purchase the pro version, you can unlock the ability to add folders. So you can add a folder to it where you can have a bunch of communication apps or whatnot. And then finally, you can customize the look of the panel. So if you don't like blue, you can go to green, or you can go to make it a pink panel, or you can make it you can adjust the alpha so you can make it transparent. So here, so what I've done is I've changed it to a Captain America point, and I can move that around. And when I tap it, it's kind of like a see-through with a like little pink hue. Mm. So it's really customizable, and it's just a really neat, different kind of approach to, you know, like I said, it's not quite a launcher. It's not quite a widget. It's not quite a shortcut thing, but it's a little bit all of that in one. So if you're looking for a different way to interact with your tablet or your phone, works on both, floating toucher is a nice way to do it. I've been playing with it a little. The dot doesn't get in the way. You can also, in the settings, you can lock the dot to be along the side of the device. So if you're like, no, I just want it off to the side, that's fine. It will lock it there. And the pro, I forget how much the pro cost is, but you can, the upgrading to pro, and I'll figure that out right now for you, gives you some decent functionality. You know, it's, it uses in-app purchasing, and it will cost you $2.06. So for $2.06, you get total control over the look and feel of the point, as well as you can add folders. So that's actually not bad of a deal. It's free in the Google Play Store to play with. And again, it's just, you know, it's a different way to interact with your phone and interact with your device and launch applications and launch actions and shortcuts. So I thought it was neat, and it's very well designed. It's very pretty.
Yeah, I think it's the word toucher that I don't like.
Yeah, the it's the floating toucher, because you're not quite sure where it is, and it, yeah, you know, and then it's going to float over to you and touch you. So that's not...
Chad, could we give everyone equal time with blinky colored lights?
Just to make it fair, all right?
Okay, yeah, there we
go.
That's
the floating toucher.
Yeah,
cool.
All right, there you go, yeah. All right, thank you. Okay.
Excellent.
So floating toucher, it's free in the Google Play Store. Check it out.
Floating toucher. There you go. All right, Tony, you have something I think that's interesting, and it's making you dollars.
It's making me money. So what's the first thing that we do when we access our phone? We unlock it. And I found an app that's basically a lock screen replacement, and it's called Lock It, and it's in beta. So it's actually, the full name is Lock It Beta. And what it does, it completely takes over your lock screen, and it feeds you ads. And you might say, well, I don't want ads. I get ads in free apps. I get ads from Google and my Gmail and this and that. But the thing is, every time you unlock your lock screen, you get paid a penny. So if you add up incrementally how many times you unlock your screen, you could effectively get over $200 by the end of the year. Now, granted, Lock It does have a cap at the moment. You can only make 3 cents per hour.
For the past
like 4 days I've had it, I've only made like $2. But it's kind of funny that I get these. So, Chad, if you want to show on my screen here, I get these ads. So this is a what's a Lock It ad?
So it's serving you ads in the lock screen.
So it's serving me ads. But the funny thing is, I'll go ahead and unlock it, and I won't even notice that the ads are there. But sometimes the ad would be something that would be beneficial to me. So let's just... For this example, Cole Haan is something that I would need. Like, oh, maybe my wife needs something from there. You swipe to the right, you unlock, it goes to whatever you're doing. You swipe to the left, and it goes to either the website or it goes to a YouTube channel that they're trying to put you to. Mm-hmm. And what's really nice, too, is the Lock It app itself, it gives you a running tab of how much you've made. So right now, I've made a total of $2, basically for not doing anything different that I would normally do in my daily life. And then if I want to cash out, Lock It allows you to cash out into a PayPal account, into a gift card, or best of all, to charity. So if you want to put money towards something good and give it back to ASPCA or whatever, then you'd be able to do that with Lock It. And it is in beta, so there are a few things about it. Like right now, you can't have a security passcode. So if you're used to a security passcode like that other email alert did, this one you probably couldn't do that. But maybe as time goes on, they'll add that. Also, they're talking about adding other advertisers that will pay out a little bit more. So let's say you get an ad from Starbucks, they'll give you 3 cents for that one ad and so on and so forth. So, but yeah, I thought it was a pretty cool idea because you unlock your phone all the time. And whether you look at the ad or not, you're still going to get to the content of your phone that you want to get to in the first place. And if it's beneficial to you, then hey, it's not a bad deal. It doesn't eat up the battery. And made $2, not bad.
Not bad. It's kind of like what Amazon, the Amazon Kindle, where they were serving ads into the lock screen, not to give you any money, but to offset the cost of the device.
Yeah,
That's interesting. That's cool. Yeah. It would be nice to be able to make more than, like, if I'm awake 18 hours a day, and so if I unlock my screen three times, that's 50 cents. Presumably, as they get up and running, if they make the payouts larger, because, man, we unlock our screens how many times a day?
So many times.
Yeah, exactly. That could be pretty cool, even if it's a penny each time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
cool. Yeah, it adds up over time. Cool. It doesn't sound like a lot.
No.
But if you keep it on there for a year, like you say,
it's a lot.
That you end, and then you know you just wait until then to cash out or go to charity or whatever.
Right.
But the charity then, aspect. Charity
yeah, that's cool.
Cool.
They also need a Google Wallet.
Yeah.
You can cash out to Google Wallet. Spread
they
the.
Should,
yeah.
But I'm sure think. They're working they on it. It's beta too. And everything. Yeah. It's a cool concept. Yeah. It's definitely different, especially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very
cool.
Nice. All right.
So now's the time.
I hope this works.
Here we go.
All right.
Lights.
Tony's got to get some lights for Lockett.
Equal time.
There
lights.
You go, there you go.
Swipe.
Okay.
Swipe.
All right.
Swipe.
Okay. Good.
Swipe.
All right. There you go. Lights.
Light.
Space Team. Ever heard of Space Team? It was released on iOS, I guess, at the end of last year, and I saw the video for it. And I was like, wow. I wish I had friends because this would be a lot of fun to play with friends. I also wish I had spare time, and I never do. That's why I thought All But Android would be the perfect way to use
to recruit,
friends.
To recruit some friends.
And play this once. Not to mention, I think it'll probably be pretty amusing. So what is Space Team? It's a party mode game. Party mode. It's a party game, essentially. It requires multiple people. I'm in the waiting room. Let me get out of it. To play. So you can play, I think, up to four players at once, I believe. You can do either Wi-Fi or you can connect to Bluetooth. We were having weirdness with Bluetooth, and often in this studio, Bluetooth is strange because there's so much stuff here. So we're going to do Wi-Fi. We're all on the same Wi-Fi network. We're going to all go to play. Oh, and let me make sure you have... Do you have my audio, Chad?
Yeah.
Okay. So there we go. So I just went to play. I'm in the waiting room, essentially. This is where we all gather... And Chad, I know you were going to do this as well, right? Oh, whoa, look at that.
Ooh.
Look at that. All right.
All right, there we go.
It's going to be interesting. Maybe, yeah, there we go. Okay, are we all in the waiting room? Chad, are you
Chad
waiting?
Chad's not there yet.
Okay, you
Come
go.
Come on, Chad.
So essentially, we all
I'm working on getting there.
To get into the waiting room, this is how you kind of line up for the game. Now, before we all do this, we're going to get a green button, and we're all going to hold it down, and that means that we're all starting at the same time. Don't do it yet.
Oh, right.
Once it starts, each of us gets commands on our screen. We have to communicate to the other people to do those things.
Okay.
Right? It's total chaos. All right, so everybody hold down the button and keep it held. Keep it held. We're all going. Here we go. It's going to be interesting. So basically, we yell out commands to each other.
Sector one.
And try and make sure that we're keeping the spaceship together.
So am I going to get a different command than you guys?
The ship flies itself. Follow the instructions. Remember to work together.
There we go. Okay. All right. As a space team. We are the space team.
Space team.
Are you guys ready? This could be a little chaotic.
I don't know
chaotic.
About this.
Here's all of our controls.
Receive the
prepare.
To
okay. And go.
Turn on Octoleg.
Turn on Twin Spoon.
I need the disc sonic.
Pico Swarms.
I have Pico Swarms. What do you
Turn
need?
Turn Pico Swarms to 3.
Got it.
Okay. I don't have Octoleg.
Activate Zeta Ring.
Turn on Twin Spoon.
I need disc sonic.
Turn on Octoleg.
Activate Zeta Ring.
Octoleg.
Turn on
Dark Club.
Activate Zeta Ring.
Zeta Ring activated.
Set Shift Trap to full
power. I need
Therma
Break.
Pico Swarm to 1.
Set Pico Swarm to 0.
Set Pico Swarm to 2.
Set Shift Trap to full power, please.
Flush Beta Break. Flush Beta Break.
Turn off the Dark Cloud. I need dark cloud disengaged.
Love him, Kevin.
Come on.
Which
jam humming cogs?
Something about the IOTA seal?
There we go.
Deactivate Zeta Ring.
AmbiFan, I need it enabled.
Enable ion cannon.
Deactivate Zeta Ring.
Okay,
Turn on Octo Leg. Turn on Octo Leg.
Disengage Disc Sonic.
Disengage Dark Cloud.
Turn on Octo Leg.
Disengage
Dark
Cloud.
Who has Octo Leg?
Who's got Octo Leg?
Turn it on. All right, there we go. I got it.
Okay.
Woo! Did we make it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. We were too good.
You know what that calls for?
Woo!
Yeah!
All right, we're back. Go.
Okay.
Set RimPod to one. Set RimPod to one.
RimPod to one?
Yes.
RimPod?
RimPod.
Activate TerraWire.
I need hollow prop. TerraWire's activated.
Turn on FlipHive.
I need a hollow prop enabled.
I don't have that.
Activate RotoBolt.
Engage Alpha Wheel.
Everybody shake.
Oh, man. Zero film. Zero film.
RotoBolt.
Everybody shake.
Turn zero film to zero.
Engage Alpha Wheel.
Turn everybody on zero shake, film. Ron.
Okay, I'm shaking.
I'm shaking.
Turn on zero film.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's stop.
Carmelize the onions. You can't stop. Turn on zero film.
But no, someone needs to caramelize the onions.
Oh, God, who has onions?
Activate Echo Lube.
Okay.
Oh, I can caramelize the onions.
It's a great game.
Activate Echo Lube.
Sure it's bad for audio.
Echo Lube.
Yeah, well, there we go.
Team signal disrupted.
Oh, no. Boarding mission in 20. Oh, yeah.
So what's not explained is everyone has different things on their screen. So I need to tell other people to activate their four events on their screen.
It's like working as a crew.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
And we worked wonderfully.
Yeah. It's also interesting doing this with like one person all the way over on the other side of the room.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, it's like Scotty in the engineering.
I'm giving her all she's got, Captain.
All right. So
that's awesome. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So audio listeners, I apologize if that made you want to jump out your car window while you're driving to work. And Gina as well. I'm sorry that you couldn't partake because we really wanted you here for that.
Slightly jarring, but then I just started yelling stuff myself. So.
Okay, good. You were yelling, stop! Stop! Please! Move on!
Activate the thumb ring! Disengage the space team! What? No, wait. So you have to be in the same space together?
Like, yeah, same Wi-Fi,
the audio?
Same Bluetooth.
Okay, so you have to be in the same space. I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so it's a Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. It was an iOS game before, and it is cross-platform.
Yeah.
So
yes,
you
it is,
can
yeah.
play with
on,
other...
Only on Wi-Fi, not on Bluetooth.
Okay, on Wi-Fi. There
yep.
we go.
Yep.
Yeah, there is no disengage thumb ring mode otherwise.
Disengage fun ring. Thumb ring.
It's the fun ring, really.
Fun ring.
Man, and some of those commands, it just kind of sounded dirty.
They did.
Yeah, RimPod. Echo Lube was my favorite, yeah.
All right, so there, if that kind of chaos is something that you want to play with your friends, it's guaranteed good time. At least for a couple of games. Who knows? Maybe you'll be really good at it and get really far. Space Team, all one word. That is it for this week's arena. You can vote for your favorite. Is it Fit Radio, Floating Toucher, Locket, or Space Team? Go to aaapoll.com/119, aaapoll.com/119. Let us know what you think. We'll see where this irons out. Floating Toucher.
Space Team.
It was approaching, but Space Team.
I got a feeling Space Team's going to run away this one.
Yeah,
look at
space
that. Boom.
I don't know. I don't underestimate the audio listeners.
Yeah, exactly. The audio listeners are the ones that were most annoyed by that segment.
Like, keep in mind that if you win Space Team, we all win.
That's true.
As a group win.
That's true.
Yeah, so
true.
There you go.
I'm cool with that.
Except for Gina, right?
Except for Gina. Gina loses. So
Gina wins next time she's in town because we'll play with you.
Sounds good.
All right, cool. All right, so there you go. Great stuff in the arena this week. Thanks to everyone for bringing it. And that is kind of it for this week.
All right. Right on time.
It's in the bag, yeah. Tony, thanks once again for hopping in the seat and joining us.
Thanks for inviting me. It's always awesome to be here.
Absolutely. So what you got going on, this is your chance to kind of promote whatever you have.
All right. So if you want to follow me, I'm really big in Google+, also on Twitter, LTG Tony. But my website is lazytechguys.com. We're everywhere on all the major social networks, including app.net. So lazytechguys.com, and follow us. We have our own podcast as well. And thanks again, guys, for inviting me down here. It's
absolutely
always a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good to have you.
Same.
Yay.
Right on, Ron.
So you can find me at about.me/RonXO, where you can find all my links to Twitter and Google Plus and Facebook and all that fun stuff like that. And you can find out why my voice is so hoarse by going to ImageComics. Ah, it's my huge head. No one
Hello,
wants
Ron.
To see that. Yeah, that's me on about.me/RonXO. Or you can check out ImageComics.com, the newly redesigned ImageComics.com, where you can now download DRM-free comics.
Yes.
And you can get them in PDF, CBR, CBZ, or EPUB, and you can view them on your Android device. So go do that at imagecomics.com.
Excellent stuff. Welcome back, Ron.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
And Gina, your video ironed itself out just in time. It was,
did it good?
Yeah.
It was really choppy there.
I got a little pixelated there. So I'll talk fast, although people tell me I talk too fast already. So maybe I should talk fast.
Yeah. I think you talk fine, Gina. You're my kind of people.
Thank you. That's right. So I co-host a show called This Week in Google here on the Twit Network, and that will air tomorrow at 1 p.m. Pacific. And you should definitely watch live, because tomorrow morning Sundar is hosting that event at Google. So we'll be talking about that. But you should also watch the live stream coverage before This Week in Google. There will be a commentary and analysis on This Week in Google. And yeah, I know my video's messed up. Sorry, guys.
It's all good. We can hear you.
I also just posted an update to todo.txt. That's my Android app. It's also on iOS, but the Android app has been getting tons of love. We just uploaded an upgrade to the Play Store last night. There's tablet optimization. There's a lock screen widget. There's a Dropbox folder chooser. If you haven't had a chance, check it out. Lots of really good upgrades. The community, it's an open source app. The community's been really active. And if you want to get into Android app development, check out the code. It's all up on GitHub. You can take a crack at it, download it, and maybe send a pull request, get involved in the community. And yeah, that's all I got.
Awesome stuff. It keeps looking better and better. It keeps with every redesign. I feel like every week you're pushing out new updates. It's awesome.
Yeah, the community's been really active. It's been great.
Yeah, that's great.
Thanks.
Well, good stuff. Chad, what you got?
I host a little show. I host a few shows on the network. One about YouTube, This Week in YouTube. One about Minecraft, OMG Craft, and I produce a few shows and TD a few shows. Your friendly technical director here. So sign off.
You should host a new show called This Week in Lighting.
I should. You know, I mean, there's just too much to cover. I mean, you have the blue light and the green light.
Well,
and
don't
purple.
And don't set yourself short with your very focused key light on your face.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. No, I mean, it took a little while for us to get this light, you know. And then there's a few lights in the back, too, and a few in the ceiling. So,
I think that's the future of this.
You know,
webinar.
I really think this is legs.
Lighting.
Twill.
Lighting.
Twill.
Lights.
Well, yeah, except for This Week in Law, but
yeah.
We won't
right,
talk
well,
about
yeah,
that
twilight.
One.
Twilight.
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 Oh, got it.
Very good.
Yeah.
Now it has to happen.
All right.
You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell, yellowgoldmusic.com. I think I might have some news this week.
Oh.
Hi, Chad.
Sorry. I don't have enough inputs.
I think I might have some news this week, and it might have something to do with some music that I've made.
Did you sign to a major label?
No, nothing that good.
Oh, well.
I don't know if I would want that, actually.
No, I know.
There's a lot of other things that would come with that.
Remember when that was something that you want? Like, I guess the band signed to a major label. Now that's not what you want.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So anyway, stay tuned. I might have something to announce on next week's show. That's it for this week. Leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear your voice. You don't call enough. You need to call more. It's 347-SHOW-AAA. You can always send us an email. Or a video mail, which is an email with a link to a video. That is aaa@twit.tv. You can find the show on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We're on Google Plus. We're just all about Android there. It makes sense. Show notes can always be found at twit.tv/aaa. That's the full, unedited, comprehensive show notes. Everything that we talk about is there. You can also find past episodes on our site there as well as iTunes and YouTube, all over the place. Finally, you can catch us live every Tuesday, starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. More lights. More lights. Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure what I'm doing.
Fantastic.
Nerds.
Takes one.
Nerds.